Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hello, everybody. Teresa in America.
Hi, guys. It's America.
In the open. Today, we're going to talk about why am I crazy on my period? Because America and I just started our period.
How about we don't like jump right in and talk about why we want to talk about this, other than the fact that we both started our periods.
It's in the title. You can't hide from it.
Well, what I was thinking about is for our male listeners, this may be really interesting because if you have females in your life, it might give you a little bit of insight. That's where I was thinking.
We'll definitely give tips.
Yeah.
How to deal with your partners.
Yeah, man. But you know, one of the interesting things about this conversation too is that not everybody who has a period identifies as a female.
Wait, you're saying not everybody who identifies as a female has a period? There are all people who identify as female.
Wait. Yes. No. This is what I'm saying. For example, we both identify as cisgender women.
Right.
But there are other people that may identify as queer or non-binary, and they may also have a period.
Or may not have a period.
And yes.
Identify as female.
Correct.
And there are cisgender females who have really funky periods because our bodies are like that and our periods are chaotic.
Yeah.
Or sometimes non-existent.
Which again can be very chaotic and kind of jarring for people. So
yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot in an intro. So
jeez, I was just trying to get us to talk about how we just both got on our period.
Yeah, but that's it. I think those are very important aspects that I hadn't thought about until somebody was like, hey, you should talk about this. So I was focused on kind of the emotions that somebody goes through before, during, and the after is like not really relevant in my case, but what that kind of looks like and my efforts to try to address the issues that may come up. Because I feel like I am at a loss sometimes. I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then I'm like, oh, your period's about to come. But it's too late. The damage has been done.
And they catch you off guard. And even though I track my period regularly, because I have to, I still get caught off guard because the shifts in the moods are so extreme.
I mean, I track my period. Yeah, I track my period. That doesn't mean that I'm consistently in front of my phone. It's like, oh, I'm a week away. It's coming. Not at all. I mean, it's there, but I feel it more so when all of a sudden I start acting like just really irritable and
just the look on someone's face makes
me you know,
punch
just
them.
Like it's like, did you just ask the most obvious question in the world?
And why are the Captain Obvious thoughts? Like, they are definitely period thoughts.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
thank you, Captain Obvious.
I forget this one situation last week when I think I was trying to make dinner, and then you know, my fiance is like, something like, there's a fork. And I'm like, yeah, got it, buddy. I got it. I don't need you to show me that. Like, I just like, oh my God, calm down, America. Don't overreact. But,
it
you know.
It feels so bad for all the men in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I see how mean we are, you know? I see it. I see how mean I am. And like, all my girlfriends, all my female friends, we know that we can be so mean.
Yeah. And I think too often there's not enough discussion around what it actually looks like, especially when you're growing up, where I remember in my adolescence, like feeling like something was wrong with me. Like I could feel like off, you know, but not until I was like in my 20s and my 30s was I was like, whoa, this is really like hormonal stuff happening.
Because something changed, or you were just more aware of it?
I think I was more aware of it and more conversations occurred around the feelings around it, like with girlfriends and stuff.
Okay, so what does it feel like? What does it feel like, and how is it different for you from other feelings that you have throughout the month?
Generally, I'm a very focused individual, I think, and so I try to stay like on task, do like the things I have to get done in a very orderly fashion. But prior to my period starting, I feel more pulled in different directions and like less able to actually like get things done. One. Mm-hmm. And then I am super, super irritable. And I'm just like, please don't come at me with stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my fuse is like always on, and it's like, boom, and something will just trigger me to like explode.
You know how we've talked before, like during an episode of a mental health problem, all of your resources get zapped into your brain, mm-hmm. and it's all it's doing is trying to survive in that moment. So you have horrible irritation. I cannot handle anything more than just literally trying to survive.
Yeah.
Except that it's really sucks with a depressed episode or manic episode or even just like ongoing psychosis, because it feels like it never ends. Periods are kind of like that, but for a day or two. It feels like all my energy is getting sucked into whatever is happening in my body. It went and got sucked up in my uterus.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't have those resources. I don't have the normal things that normally give me strength or patience.
Yeah. I feel like disjointed prior to and then during my period, where you're exactly right. Like my energy, like me trying to make a decision about something as simple as what am I going to eat? It's like,
oh my God,
what do you want? What, you know, this is conversation. What are you going to have? I don't know. I don't feel like eating anything, but you got to eat. Okay. What are you going to eat? I don't know. You know, and it's like something so trivial becomes this huge thing. And I'm like, dude,
but it's not trivial, because this is like your period runs up against your relationship, because the what are we gonna eat?
No, but that's just internal conversation.
Oh, for yourself, geez.
Yes,
America, that's you have this conversation.
This is not even involving anybody else. So imagine
your spirit.
Yes, imagine this feeling that's something simple, right? Or I was gonna say too, like the fluctuations where I'm like, I'm fine, I'm mad right now, and then 2 minutes later, I'm like watching some random crap on TV, and I'm like tearing up, and I'm like,
totally,
what the heck? What's happening?
But going back to the food thing, I don't know what it is about being on your period too, where you want to eat everything. But that conversation, because my husband will say, what are we going to do for dinner? What do you want for dinner?
Oh God, I hate that conversation.
I know, because I don't know what it is. We need to unpack what the expectations are for women.
Yeah, the other day, it was so funny because we were having this conversation and my fiance was like, so what are we going to eat? I'm like, man, make a decision, yo. Just make a decision. Do whatever you want. And then I gave some suggestion. And he was like, no, I think I want tacos. Fine, man. Go buy tacos. I don't care. But I was so happy. Like, just get it done.
I know. But then they go, well, what do you want? And that sucks, because they're trying to be kind, you know, and trying to get what you want. But you're like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't make this decision.
See, but that book backs up into like all this stuff that's happening emotionally, hormonally. And when I was talking about like not understanding that when you're like younger, you know, when you're like a teen or whatever, it's weird because it's not like there's something that's completely like, this is what you should expect. You will be moody. Well, what the hell does that look like? That looks different for every person.
Do you think that some women or females are more affected by hormones than others?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too, right? Like, would you say that you're very affected by your hormones?
Like, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, I would probably say I'm at a 6. Maybe 10 years ago, I would have been like at an 8.
I'd say in my life, I have been probably at a 9. Like, very affected by my hormones. and I think more affected by my hormones than I am by shifts in what we like normal neurotransmitters.
Really? Do you not think that they're tied together?
Probably they are, which I think is why it's important to talk about hormones, because in mental health community, we talk so much about serotonin and dopamine and like psychotropic meds and blah, 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 right? But I do think that hormones also play an incredible role, and other non-traditional neurotransmitters like glutamate.
You said what?
Well, you know, it's funny too. We don't teach these things because like school is not like, it's such an uncomfortable topic maybe for your sixth grade teacher or whatever. But if you're a female, you also recognize that when you get older and you start to learn these things that you have estrogen and you have progesterone and you have testosterone. Females also have levels of testosterone.
Yes. Everybody has testosterone and estrogen.
All those things. And progesterone. And those hormones make me feel different ways. Like, it wasn't until I went on birth control. There was some birth control that made me murderous. Like, literally. I would drive and I would be speeding, cutting people off. I was aggressive. And I had to be like, what is going on? Because I was enraged. And then others would make me super teary, crying, like more cry than I normally am crying.
I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, I stopped taking birth control maybe 10 years ago. And I remember the first cycle that I had after being off birth control. And I remember calling my girlfriends. I was like, what is happening to my body? And they were like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I just feel like crying about everything. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know. Tell me a story because I want to start crying. And then they're like, it's just a hormone. And especially one of my girlfriends that had been pregnant. She was like, calm down. It's your hormones. Your body's trying to adjust. And I was like, I've never felt so many feelings at the same time.
I know. It's like that.
Yeah, dude. So
I know our shirt on like all the feels all the time is basically a period shirt.
Yeah. It's funny, but I think it gets to what you're saying, right? Like we in school, we're not educated about that. And it's not like, I mean, I've had conversations with my mom, but it's not like my mom's like, well, you have these three hormones and how they, no, you know, it's like, you'll feel better. It's normal, you know, and it's like, I kind of understand why.
Yeah, I have to be on birth control. I mean, eventually it was like finding the right birth control was like finding the right psych meds. Mm. It was like when I found the right one, I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to feel even, but even off birth control, I'm like, woo, woo, woo.
But that speaks to this issue, right, that you're kind of talking about. Like some things are hormonal, mm-hmm. and hormones are complete. The birth control, the medication that's in birth control is that it's hormones.
Yeah.
Compared to the other kind of aspects that you're talking about, like the neurotransmitters and dopamine and things that are going on in our brain.
Like SSRIs and SNRIs. Yeah. Yeah.
And that combination of information, I think, is very useful for people to understand that it's not just in your head. You are actually feeling these things.
Yeah.
And they look like this.
Yeah.
So tell us, because I told you, but tell us a little bit about what happens before, during, and after for you.
It took me a while to realize I have mood swings during ovulation.
Okay.
Which is in the middle of the month. And then again, right before my period. And they were two different kinds. The one during my ovulation, and I'm sure it's different for everyone. This is just what it took me forever to figure out. During my ovulation time, I would be more irritable. And that's because there's something that happens with progesterone, which I did not learn until I had to go through infertility treatment and take progesterone pills. And that's when the light bulb went out and I was like, oh my gosh, my body hates progesterone. It turns me into a rage monster. And then the the one right before my period, it just feels like I want to eat everything and I'm really irritable and I want somebody to give me a hug, but I don't know how to ask for a hug and I just can't make any decisions. Mm-hmm. And I just want to sit and watch TV and eat chips and bad stuff. So I think, I don't know if that's like your body is about to shed all of its blood. So it's like, give nutrients. I'm obviously, we're making these things up, y'all. We're not doctors.
Well, no, it made me think of this, one of the main aspects of when I realized without looking at my calendar, something's happening is when I crave something salty and sweet. And I'm like, oh, man. And that's when I realized that it's coming. And I would imagine if I had a conversation with my fiance, he would probably be like, yeah, I know when it's coming.
Why do we? Okay, let's turn to the men.
Yeah.
Let's turn to the males. But I do know some partners mm-hmm. who track their partner's cycles. And I have one friend in particular who, when we heard that her husband did this, we were like, this is genius. He tracks her cycles and then he leaves her little gifts.
That's nice.
Of Cheetos and chocolate around yeah. the house. Well, it's like, protective. And there must be something biological to this desire that we have for salty and sweet right yeah. before our period.
There totally right? has to be. I've never actually spoken to a doctor about it, but there has to be.
Or are we all collectively using excuses because we want to eat chocolate and chips all month, but then right before our period, we're like, I can now.
No, like I don't normally seek out chocolate as something that's like a treat for me at all. I will never be like, I want a piece of chocolate. No. So that's for me. I know that's when it's happening.
But right before your period, you want sweet.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, he does that. He does the whole shebang. He tracks it. So he just knows to stay out of the way, mm-hmm. which is hilarious because no joke, yesterday I was just like, I can tell I'm irritated. I think you just need to stay away from me. And Greg was like, I don't want to stay away from you. I feel like we need to talk. And in my head, I was like, nobody needs to talk right now. I'm trying to protect you. Stay away.
Maybe that's what needed to come out of your mouth to be like, I am trying to protect the integrity of our relationship. Back away now.
I mean, in my head, that's what came out.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's not what actually came out.
Yeah. So listen, I want to talk a little bit about this aspect of what I was saying earlier about menstruators. And a lot of conversation has occurred this year, actually, because of some issues that happened online, like where, you know, people were saying it's wrong for individuals who menstruate to only think that it happens for women, cisgendered women. And I thought that I had never really thought about that at all. Until somebody popped this in front of me and I was like, yo, that's true, right? And when we're thinking about like equity and stuff like that, I started looking into it a little bit more. And I don't know if you've ever encountered this at all, but some of the things that came to mind was like, you know how you go into a bathroom and all of a sudden there's like tampons and pads there and they're just there. But if somebody doesn't identify as female or uses the woman's restroom, and menstruates, and they go into like a male restroom and they don't have access to sanitary napkins or things like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Which is why we should have unisex bathrooms.
Yeah.
I was also thinking that from clients I've worked with, you know, so much of transitioning and identity is like it's a reminder of how painful it is that you're not in the body you want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that every month you get a reminder of this experience yeah. where you're just like, oh, this part of me is still, it feels foreign.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I hate it. I hate that my body still looks this way, still does this thing, still acts this way. And it's especially hard for people who don't have access to resources because hormone treatment would probably stop periods, but not everybody has access.
Not everybody has access. And also, not everybody is aware enough to understand that there are differences. Because if we were to go to just like, I think the general public and say, well, we're menstruators, they'd be like, yeah, because you're a woman. It's like, no, it's not just that. you know, it's not just because I'm a woman. And it goes back to these questions about identity and what that means and the way in which we interpret the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Empathizing with people who it's a complex issue. It's not always clear cut. And the issue is that you also have the hormone shifts. Like, also, I think that men, I wish has anybody ever looked up a study about men's shifts in their hormone levels throughout the month? Because, you know, we all swear that there's man periods.
Yes, I have not actually looked up the studies, but I would imagine that, yes, there has to be hormonal shifts, not marked as distinctly as our shifts in, you know, women who menstruate.
This is interesting. So male hormone changes. So there is also the shift where for women, we know that there's a cycle, but there's also a change in cycle over time. So you said the way you felt 10 years ago is different than the way you felt today. This is true. I feel the same way. I also felt like there was a major shift once I had children.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about my body just got screwed up. Now suddenly I have migraines when I have my period. And you're like, what?
Oh, I used to get those.
Yeah. The thing about evaluating your health is recognizing that your health is not static. I mean, it doesn't just sit in one spot. It's literally changing all the time in reaction to what you eat, how much stress you have, how old you are. If you had a physical health problem, it makes shifts in your body.
Completely. Let me ask you a question, and this kind of gets to some cultural aspects of this. In your family, did you guys openly talk about like your period and what that meant?
No. Okay. No. In fact, my mom was so avoidant about talking to me about sex that I remember that the only time she got involved with my school was to make sure that I had sex education because she didn't want to have that conversation with me.
So part of that was the sex education included some sort of education around your period.
At school? No. I don't even know where I got it. Oh, you know what? Okay, I got it from friends.
Okay.
And then at some point, one of my sisters became a gynecologist. All the women in my family were like, oh, let's talk about the vagina. And it was amazing. And that helped all of us.
That's very interesting. The reason why I ask this is because I remember having conversations with my mom and she was like, this is going to happen. But then when it happened, I was like, oh, what's happening? I don't understand. And even though like I had gotten actually in school, they had told us, you know, they had separated all the girls from the boys and were like, you have to have all these things. And it's like, ugh. But it makes me think about how young people are educated around these issues because it impacts you, you know, for most of your life. Not only
I feel like less young people today are like, what's going on with my body? I think most of them know. They may not know the nuances. You and I are older, so we're like, okay, be aware. This is when it changes. This is how you tell the difference between your mental illness and your period. Mm-hmm. You know, mental illnesses stay around for a longer period of time. Your period comes and goes. But there are lots of narratives and stories that, you know, women, females get about hysterical women or moody women. And it does suck. Like, I feel like one of the things I've struggled with was feeling ashamed or bad that I couldn't control my mood. And I had to get over that at some point. And just accept, like, it's okay. This is part of your body and there's no shame in it at all. In fact, you know, it's a sign your body is working. Because I've also had periods where my body wasn't working. And I have PCOS.
Yeah, that's another – do you want to tell people what PCOS stands for? Because they might not know.
Yeah, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I don't think I knew that I had PCOS till a lot later in my life.
Yeah, a very close friend of mine experienced weird fluctuations in her menstrual cycle. And then, you know, when she went to see the gynecologist, they identified it as PCOS. But that's another area, right? Like when you think, you know, what tends to happen is women get synced up and they have periods around the same time. I don't know why that's a naturally occurring thing. But when you're left out of that, it can make you feel like something's really wrong with you and you can feel isolated.
Yeah, or what everybody does comparisons, you know, so you're like, oh, how long is your period? What is that? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And like, it is. It can be another weird thing that happened for me. I had appendicitis in my 20s and I ended up having surgery. And apparently during that time, my fallopian tubes got swiped. And so from my 20s until I had another surgery because I had an ectopic pregnancy, my surgeon basically told me that I had been bleeding into my stomach.
But, you know, it speaks to the many issues I think that are experienced through all of this, because what you experience when you're an adolescent is very different than when you're like in your 20s and your 30s. And then you're moving into like, you know, when you want to have a baby and you then go into like menopause, you know, and the lack thereof of a period and all that stuff.
So most of our audience are young. So you're like either very young and you're in the beginning of your journey. So
don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. We all survive. It gets better. Yeah. You learn yourself. What would you give advice to your 20-year-old self?
Track your period.
I wish I was more grateful for my body in my 20s.
Oh, completely, man. I mean... You know, one of the things that I've learned is the fact that you may not be willing to have these conversations with people because you feel like you're the only one that is having these types of thoughts, like what's going on with my body? Why is this happening? But the internet, like Teresa says, is a really great source, but it's also really useful to find other people who maybe can share your experience, because our lack of an ability to connect with one another around these issues makes us feel more isolated, right?
Yeah, man. All you could do is learn yourself. So you're like, oh, in my 20s, I was figuring it out. I feel like my 20s, I was just living life, man.
You make it sound like this time.
Because like, I'm going through a midlife crisis. I want to go back to my 20s.
Yeah. You know, if you are younger and you're kind of thinking about ways in which you can help yourself, I think it's important to, and like anything we've said, is to kind of to help you track your moods and see if there are fluctuations that happen before, during, and after, because that may help you prepare better. We're talking about general kind of moodiness and fluctuations that you may feel prior to your period coming, during your period, and even after. But when we think about PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, mm-hmm. it's much more serious. And how it differentiates is that the length of time of the feelings and the, I want to say the depth, but.
This is the way I had to make sense of it, right? This is why when we said, where are you on the scale from 1 to 10? That was really important. Because I was like, the reason why I'm on birth control is because I know I'm a 9. Like my mood swings are so hardcore that when I'm not on birth control, it interferes with my relationships and my life.
You can distinctly tell that. Yeah.
I can tell that. And so I was like, I need to find a solution, whether it's SSRIs or it's birth control. I had to find a solution because I didn't want to feel that bad and that up and down. And then I did not want it to affect my relationships. And I do know that being on birth control really does help that. And then being on antipsychotic medications do help with mood swings. And so you just find the thing that works for you. And all you can do is track the information you have. So if you're like, okay, I think that my mood swings are especially bad during my ovulation and my period, you know, you can explore, if you're already on antidepressants, you can explore additional birth control and try different ones. I've talked to a lot of women and they're like, oh, I tried one and it made me feel awful. And I'm like, dude, it's like psychotropics. You have to try a bunch because like I said, there are some that literally made me fly into a rage and others that made me cry. And then I found the one that makes me feel totally even keel. And I don't like to get off of it because when I'm not on it, I go back to being up and down.
Yeah, but when you're talking about like these fluctuations and the difference between like a normal kind of the normal kind of processes and motions of your period and then PMDD, like it's like that freaks me out. Like that difference. There's a difference.
So for me, I have never been officially treated, like diagnosed with PMDD, but I'm almost positive I would meet criteria for PMDD. And I've just self-medicated, or at least like talked to my doctor and asked for birth control because I was protecting, you know, birth control, but also like as a side thing, realized, whoa, I really like the way I feel. And that tells me something, like I probably could get diagnosed with PMDD.
Yes. And your experience is valid in that regard, that you've been able to really notice those differences, right? And have made efforts to try to find a solution that works. But I don't think I've ever experienced the level of distress that is characterized by PMDD, where it's like very, very extreme irritability or anger to the point that, you know, I am having like extreme bouts of anger and things like that.
Regardless of labels, people, you have to just figure out what works for you. I had to get off birth control when I had to try and have children, and it meant that I had to adjust, and it was okay. I was willing to accept that shift, but I had to prepare. I had to have like my wrap plan and tell my husband like, okay, I'm getting off birth control. And in some ways it was very interesting because I was more attentive, and because I was more attentive, we did better in terms of our relationship. Mm-hmm. But then now when I have mood swings, because we're not paying attention to it, we get caught off guard by it more often. Now I forget that I had the words to describe what I need to say to him to be like, I don't want to get into a fight because I'm about to start my period, which is so much better to say than just being like, I don't know why I'm mad. Get out of my face.
Yeah. And that goes back to like at the beginning of our conversation, we were just thinking about what all this kind of looks like, but also what people can do to help themselves. And I think, you know, we've both talked about like tracking our periods. I think that's something that's very useful that wasn't ever really told that should happen early on. The only reason why I started doing it was because somebody was like, yo, you should really do this. So I'm telling people, yo, you should really do this. Go try it. There's so many apps out there that help you do that, because then that can help you figure out what's happening before, during, and after, right? And if you see there are patterns, then you can better adjust.
Yeah.
Then you've talked about some other things like, you know, really thinking about hormonal shifts that happen and whether medication may be something that you can consider. For younger folks, you know, it's always important to have a conversation with your doctor around these issues. Don't just be like, well, I'm just going to go and get medication for it, because each person's body reacts differently to meds. So figure out what that looks like. You know, if you're trying to navigate how to even have a conversation, like if you're much younger and your mom or whoever, a trusted adult is the person that you need to go to, you know, you need to figure out how to have the conversation, because it's not comfortable for many people. But, you know, hopefully this gives you some information so you're not just out there at a loss.
Totally. And I would say these experiences are all normal and they should be celebrated. They're a sign that your body is working towards some goal, even when you feel utterly out of control. And the nice thing that I do appreciate about PMDD versus depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder is I feel like, at least with this issue, I know a lot of my female friends relate. So it was easier for me to talk to them about PMDD first, as an introduction to being like, and also, do you feel anxiety or have weird thoughts? You say it was hard, but I found that it was easier to talk about hormones and periods with my girlfriends than it was to talk about even mental illness.
All right, guys. Well, keep fighting in the open, right?
Yes. Bye, people.
Bye-bye.